So today is a very special day. By the way, my name is Jim. I'm the Chinese pastor. Usually we'll have our separate service. But today, usually in the first week of the month, we will combine together. So today is our combined service. So today is a very special day. We are looking at Mark chapter 15. For those who have been walking through the Gospel of Mark, can you all tell me what Mark chapter 15 is about? The crucifixion of Christ. So today, very special. On one hand, we have the celebration of the birth of Jesus and the Christmas. And on the other hand, today we will reflect on Jesus Christ, his cross and his death. But brothers and sisters, we must be very clear. One thing, Jesus' birth, his incarnation, his life was for this very moment of Christ, of the cross. I'm not saying that everything in between is not important, is unimportant. It's not at all. Every part of Jesus' life shown in the gospel is extremely important to us. But we also must be very clear. Jesus came into this world with a mission, and the cross is the very center of that mission. In that, we can even say this. The crucifixion of Christ is the center of salvation history and the very center of all human history. Can we have the next slide, please? The crucifixion of Christ is the center of salvation history and the very center of all human history. Because it's here, the cross, God invites us into his eternal relationship of love. A plan that the triumph God has ordained before the creation and has been faithfully fulfilled throughout all human history. In John 12:27, Jesus speaks concerning his destiny. He said, "It was for this very reason I came to this hour." So today, we will focus our heart fully on Jesus Christ and his cross. Okay? Okay? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We come before you once again today. We come to reflect on Jesus Christ and the cross. So I pray that you prepare every one of our heart and give us ear to hear. May your love touch our heart and transform us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. So chapter 15 is about the trial and the suffering of Christ. But in fact, in Mark chapter 14, Mark have already shown us Christ's suffering. Did you remember that? You remember last week when Pastor Aaron led us to see Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane? We saw that Jesus was under such intense pressure. And if I can put it this way, he nearly wanted to give up his mission. But he didn't. Jesus prayed to the Father, "If possible, take this cup from me, but yet not what I will, but what your will." He chose to pray. He chose to submit to the Father's will through prayer. And Mark was communicating this message to every one of our who read the Bible. During the time of challenges, the great trial, suffering, we all must make the same decision, and we can make this same decision by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus was empowered by the Holy Spirit. Hold tightly to your God and don't give up, and continue to pray and submit to his will. Because through your prayer, God can send his angel to help you. You never know. He will strengthen you by the Holy Spirit, and you can rise from fear and despair and face your challenges with faith and encouragement, just like what Jesus did. And as I read Mark chapter 15, there's so much in this passage we can think about. We can think deeper, to pray, we can reflect. Mark chapter 15 recorded how Jesus was humiliated and tortured. But also, Mark keeps reminding us again and again of Jesus' identity. Jesus is the King. We notice that he recorded 5 times Jesus being called the King of the Jews and once the King of Israel in the same chapter. Although every one of those comes from the mouth of those who mock him. You may also recall when Jesus entered into Jerusalem, people quoted which Psalm? Psalm 118. You know, Psalm 118 is a psalm to welcome the triumphant king back to their city, right? So what did they say? This is the day that the Lord has made. Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is the one, is he who come in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna is the highest. This is welcoming the king back to his city with victory. But in chapter 15, the King of Israel, the Messiah of this whole world, is tortured, humiliated, and nailed to the cross. He was clothed in a royal purple robe. Purple color is the royal color in Jesus' time. But was stripped, was naked. He was wearing a crown. But what is that make of? Thorns. And his royal title was written on the cross, the King of the Jews. And you know what is the cross? The most cruel, the most terrifying instrument for the execution in the Roman world. Isn't it something that we are facing today as well? Christian, do you notice? Because of Jesus' name, you may also suffer. You know the precious name Jesus Christ in your mouth sometimes means something totally different from those who use this name as a joke in a bar or even in a train station when people miss a train. The world mock him because they don't know him. They use a name through which all the people can be saved to curse others. This is a sad reality. But what I want to remind you is this. This is why you are there. You are sent into the situation, into the location, to turn heart back to God. Turn their heart back to God. To help people truly know who Jesus Christ is. He is the King in the way of Jesus. And what is the way of Jesus? It's the way that reflects the character of his kingdom, the beatitude, because we are all his people. It is the way that reveals the humility of the King. And it is the way that shows the goodness, the kindness and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes, because you bear his name, you may also share in the suffering of Christ. People mock you and reject you. I want to show you a picture. Can you see that? This is an ancient Roman graffiti. Someone is mocking a Christian. And it's dated possibly from the 1st century to the 3rd century. And the word reading below was Alexamenos and his God. Alexamenos is a Christian. And did you notice that there was a donkey head on the cross? This may be because of those who mock him misunderstood the story of Jesus entering into Jerusalem as a messianic king, but riding, humbly riding on a donkey and they thought that Christian is worshiping a donkey-shaped God. That's their understanding. This is also this world's understanding. So silly. Why are you worshiping this God? But did you notice in Mark chapter 15, at the very moment when Jesus breathed his last breath, a Roman centurion in his armor, you know why he's in his armor? Because he's representing the authority and the power of the Roman Empire. Come to this sincere confession. Surely this man was the Son of God. And this echoes what Mark told us from the very beginning of Mark chapter 1, verse 1. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. This is the whole purpose Mark gives us the gospel, to tell us this man, he is the Christ, he is the Son of God. And through the mouth of the Roman commander, God sent a message to the whole world. The kingdom of God has come. This is how the real king take back his throne, defeated the enemy, Satan, and conquered death on the cross. And this good news, this is the good news, eventually will spread through every corner of this world. And brother and sister, you and I are the one called to carry this victorious, triumphant message until the whole world hears that. We are the ambassadors. This Apostle Paul quoted Isaiah 52 concerning those who preach the good news. He says this, "How beautiful upon the mountain are the feet of him who bring good news, who publish peace, who bring good news of happiness, who publish salvation." Can you read that? It's over there. And what is the good news? Who said to Zion, "Your God reigns"? Jesus, our God, our King, has been enthroned, and his kingdom never ends, will last forever. And this is your King, and this is the good news. In chapter 15, we also see the eternal God, the creator of the whole universe, being judged by the worldly Roman government. Ancient Roman Empire saw pride of itself, its legal system and its military power. They thought that they can bring the justice and the peace to the whole world. That's their pride. They had the most developed legal structures and the strongest army in his time. Yet this moment, Jesus' trial is the most unjust trials in all of human history. If we read the Bible, we see that the entire process of this trial was unjust. The timing was unjust. The use of the witnesses was unjust. And the conviction process was unjust. And man judged God, delivered him to death. The Roman governor, Pontius Pilate, have already declared that Jesus was innocent of anything. He said, "Why? What evil have he done?" in Mark chapter 15, verse 14. He also told the religious leader, "Take him yourself and crucify him yourself, for I found no guilt in him." But Pilate still delivered Jesus to be crucified because what? He fears the people. Pilate once said to Jesus, "Do you know that I have the authority to release you and the authority to crucify you?" And Jesus answered, You will have no authority over me at all unless it has been given to you from above." Today's world, people thought that they have the authority to judge God as well. But they didn't understand that the authority they have was given by God himself. And they would be held accountable for how they use the authority. Any government that does not uphold justice will be judged by God. God himself will bring the judgment. For God will bring every deed into judgment. And sometimes we humans, we think we are very smart. We feel that almost everything is in our control. So why do we need God? We have knowledge, and we even have AI. But do you notice something? Even AI can sometimes go out of our control. Have you heard about AI illusion? Yeah? You cannot trust AI. We think we are so wise that even the existence of God seems like something that we can decide. But we don't realize is this. God does not need to prove his existing to anyone. But we are accountable for the choice, the decision that we make. And our conscience will testify against it. In John chapter 3, verse 18, it says this. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe is condemned already. Because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. Because by refusing the believing of one true God, we are actually saying that he is a liar. We also see in Mark chapter 15 how Jesus fulfilled the Old Testament prophecy, the symbols, and the entire sacrificial systems. And the function of the temple, the man-made temples. But I'm afraid that we don't have time to explore those today. But there's one thing that I want to highlight here. The blood of Jesus completely fulfilled the law and every requirement of Old Testament, the Old Testament sacrifice. So because of this, the Old Testament sacrifice, the Old Covenant sacrificial system, and even the Old Testament physical temple itself is no longer needed because he is the perfect sacrifice. Jesus himself is the new temple, and in him, we are his new temples as well. Amen? If you read through Scripture, Mark chapter 15, the scripture show us in this event, the torture, the humiliation, the rejection, and the killing of Jesus. He suffered in his flesh, in his body. But brother and sister, if we think Jesus' suffering was only physical, then we completely miss the point. Throughout the whole event, the deeper and the far greater pain was not in his flesh, but in his spirit, in his soul. The Bible tells us in the Gospel of John that when the Gentile worshipper came to Jerusalem, asked to see Jesus, and he knew there is the time, and his heart was troubled. Because from that time onward, an indescribable and an immeasurable weight rests upon him. Do you know that Jesus had been carrying such a big weight on him? So you know, like when Jesus telling the disciples, say, my yoke is easy. He's not saying that, come, I give you my yoke. I give you my yoke. You carry it. It's not like that. He's actually telling you that he's carrying all the weight himself. You're just walking together with him. You're just walking with him. And he's holding for you, and he's holding all the weights as well. And brothers and sisters, we cannot imagine the weight Jesus bore, the weight of that cup that made him fearful, sorrowful, and so overwhelmed that he even asked the Father to remove it. In Isaiah chapter 53, the prophet prophesies, Verse 4, Surely he has borne our grief and carried our sorrows. Verse 5, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. A few weeks ago, when we looked at the disciple James and John asking Jesus to position them, to ask for the position in God's kingdom, for the honoring, like for the honor position in his kingdom. Do you remember that? Yeah? And Jesus told them what? What did Jesus tell them? You don't know what you're talking about, right? Why? Because they have no idea what his cover truly is. This cup of God, this is the cup of God, this is the cup of God's judgment. It is cup contain the root of all the pangs and sorrow in this world. And the cup was poured out fully upon Jesus. We all have been hardship, right? We all have been difficult time challenges in our life. Imagine your suffering, the suffering that you endure in our entire life were like a waterfall pouring over us. Surely that's painful. But then the suffering that poured into Jesus' soul was like thousands upon thousands of Niagara Falls, with millions of tons of water crushing down every second. Have anyone been to there? Been to the Niagara Falls? No? Someone has been to there? I never been to there. I only watch on TV. But the sound was already so loud, right? And the name Niagara, it means waters of thunders of God. I cannot imagine any human soul can bear such pressure and agony. Only Jesus could. So in the Garden of Gethsemane, his whole being would tremble under that weight. But through the prayer and through the union with the Father, his spirit was renewed in strength. Because those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Amen? Amen. His body was weak. We can see in chapter 15. So someone else had to carry his cross halfway through. And he was dragged by the soldiers to the Golgotha. But his spirit was renewed. Like a king was about to return to his throne. In Luke's gospel, we see Jesus on the cross, looking at those who were watching him, eye to eye. And Jesus said, as a king, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Then the deepest agony did not come from the physical suffering. The true pain came because the separation with the Father. Within the Holy Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, they have always been perfect love, perfect unity, perfect communion, never once separated. But on the cross, for the only time in eternity, the perfect intimacy between the Father and the Son was torn apart because of our sin. No human has ever felt that. Never before and never after. I cannot explain how it works, but I only know his suffering was very real. The pain of not being able to enjoy the closeness of the Heavenly Father. Adam and Eve were once expelled from the garden, but they never experienced the full weight of God's abandonment. We have never tasted such abandonment either. Because our God is mercy and grace. His grace and mercy still rests on every one of us in every day. And only Jesus, Son of Heavenly Father, has ever truly felt the depth of this forsakenness. That is why, on the cross, for the only time, he did not call the Father, the Heavenly Father, Father. He cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He quoted King David's Psalm 22 to describe this experience of abandonment, but in a multitude of how David felt it. But not only the Son suffer, the Father suffers as well. Let me say it again. In the event of the cross, the Son suffer and the Father suffer. The Father always share the perfect union as well, perfect intimacy with the Son and the Holy Spirit. Now in human history, the Father watched his beloved Son walk toward the cross, separated because of our sin, and bear the consequence of every human being deserve. I don't want you to think that I have just invented some kind of strange theology. So I quoted the words from a theologian. His name is Jürgen Moltmann. On the cross, not only is Jesus himself in agony, but also the one for whom he lived and spoke, his Father. And again, the Son suffer dying, the Father suffer the death of the Son. The grief of the Father here is just as important as the death of the Son. And I want to show you a video clip today. It's a clip from a show, a Czech film, like a film called The Bridge. It's a Czech film. It's from the country Czech Republic. And it's about a father and his son. But before we watch that, I want to say something very important. Please do not analyze this video with a theologian's mind, okay? I know you are all theologians. But I'm not using this film to teach any doctrines. But I just simply feel that the father in the story gives us a very, very small glimpse of the father's heart at the cross. Especially through the emotion that he expressed. And also this video brings me very deep sadness and a strong emotion. And I believe it may also stir someone, something similar in you, someone here as well. So if you are worried that it may be too heavy for you emotionally, I encourage you don't watch it, okay? Yes, so please, again, do not analyze it with your theologian's mind. But just see this, I'm just like a little young brother among our brother and sister, try to communicate the father's heart to you. Did you see the expression of the father? This is how our God, our Heavenly Father felt. And when he was looking at the lady in the train, I was imagining this. He was actually asking us a question. We were just like the ladies or the people in the train. Don't you see that? He sacrificed his only begotten son, gone through all this hardship, this suffering for you. And when I see the pain of the father in the film, I begin to just a little bit to understand why Mark recorded from noon until 3 p.m. The darkness covered the whole land. It was not a natural event, because the crucifixion of Christ shook the whole natural world, the whole heavens and earth grieves. But we see the Holy Trinity willingly bore the suffering on the cross. The Father, the Son, the Father, Heavenly Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Can I have the next slide, please? Can we read it together in this? Can we read it together? This is how much God loved the world. He gave His Son, His one and only Son. And this is why, so that no one need to be destroyed. By believing in Him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life. God didn't send His Son to point an accusing finger, telling the world how bad it was. He came to help, to put the world right again. Anyone who trusts in Him is acquired. Anyone who refuses to trust Him has long since been under the death sentence without knowing it. And why? Because of that person's failure to believe in the one of a kind Son of God. I'm not quoting on NIV or King James Version. I'm using the Message Bible from Dr. Eugene Peterson. And because I believe through this word, some of you may feel the heart of our Father more clearly. So today, even though if you forget everything that I say, even if you don't know who is Eugen Mokman or Pontius Pilate, you don't even know what is atoning sacrifice, that's fine. That's only one thing I hope you take away today. One thing that you must remember is this word, and the word is love. The love of God for you. God loves you. Whether you are Christian or not, this is the truth. For our Christian brothers and sisters, you have a Father in heaven who loves you. For you, He gave His most precious, His one and only Son. Allow Him to endure all the suffering and die for you on the cross. Why? So that you know whatever you have faced and whatever that you are facing now, God knows and God is there. What have you gone through? What are you going through now? In your hardest moment, look to the cross. When you feel no one understands you, look to the cross. When life disappointed you, look to the cross. When you see the Son of God on that cross, this is the evidence of God's love for you. This is the proof that God cares for you. Do you still need any other evidence? Just like Paul says, He who did not spare His only Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? Brothers and sisters, do you need another miracle to prove that God loves you? Sometimes miracles do happen because of God's mercy and grace or to fulfill His will. But God does not need to show miracles to prove His love for us, because He has already proved His love for us on the cross. Is there anyone here today have not yet come to a decision that I want this God, this full of love God? Have anyone? Can you please kindly lift up your hand? If you're not a Christian yet, anyone here? Well, we're all among brothers and sisters. That's good. One thing that I want to let you know is our Christianity, our Christian faith, is not another religion. Christian faith is not another religion. It's a relationship. Religion tells you things to do, and then you exchange for some kind of benefit. But a relationship is different. A relationship begins in your heart, then grow into your commitment, then express through our outward actions. So on the cross, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit enter into suffering to demonstrate His love to us. And we can truly know the Emmanuel. And what's the meaning of Emmanuel? God with us. God is with us. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for showing us your great love. Because of the cross of Jesus Christ, we become your children. Even though we are unworthy, we don't deserve it. May every one of us draw and led by your love. Renew our life and help us live out the likeness of your Son Jesus. Lord, we pray that you bless every one of us, our brother and sister here, in this season of celebration. Make us the channel for your blessing to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.